I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Good Glow Podcast. Following a cancer diagnosis in my 30s, my goal is to inspire and empower people on their self-care journey. Through the conversations I have with my guests, we hope to do just that.
There is a plan, and believe that if you're at rock bottom and you're suffering, this is all part of your life, your tapestry. This is your story, and where you go next is what's crucial.
The love before was easy, but the love at my lowest was real.
We all know what makes us happy. We all know the life we dreamed about. And deep down, we all know what we're capable of if you only give yourself permission to do it.
I now live a happy and fulfilled life where self-care is the top priority and every day is an opportunity to grow. This season, I've teamed up with L'Oreal Paris. L'Oreal Paris Revitalift Pure Retinol Night Serum is their most potent retinol for deep wrinkles. Validated by the L'Oreal International Board of Dermatologists, it is loved by consumers and was awarded Best Retinol for 2021 by Grazia. Applying L'Oreal Pure Retinol Serum before your nighttime moisturizer can tackle the appearance of even deep wrinkles and brighten your skin. Revitalift is available in your local McCabe's Pharmacy. Welcome to the Good Glow Podcast. This episode with Carly Sweeney has been a long time coming. We first connected last year and I'm so happy the time has come for her to finally come on the Good Glow and tell her story of adopting gorgeous twin boys from Atlanta, Georgia last summer. This is a story of pure joy. It wasn't an easy road for Carly, but as you listen to this podcast, I know that your heart will fill with love, and it's a really exciting one for me. So I hope you enjoy it. Carly, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me on the Good Glow today. Just for the listeners, that to let them know that this conversation has been a year in the making. We started speaking to each other last year during lockdown. You've come so far since that point, and how are you feeling?
Fantastic. We were in contact last year. We just come home from America with our twin boys, and I wanted to shout it from the rooftops that we were home with them. But with adoption, it just takes time for the paperwork to be processed. So that finally happened at the end of September. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of come on and tell my story and just share the happiness, I suppose, that we are feeling with the boys. And yes, thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, like I really feel like you're glowing with happiness, and I know that, you know, through speaking to you, this has not been an easy journey in any shape or form. Tell us a little bit. You got married in 2013 and you tried for a baby straight away.
Yeah, so we got married in July 2013, and it's such a lovely day. We'd do it all over again if we could. It was amazing. And then we went to kind of a month off, we were on honeymoon and stuff, and by the time we got back and back to work, then we kind of thought, well, you know, we're kind of ready to start a family. So that was about September then. So October then, couldn't believe it. We did a pregnancy test and it was positive, and we were just delighted. We just couldn't believe it was like happened so quickly. And then we had 24 hours of happiness, and then the next day I started bleeding and I miscarried that baby. And it was very early stages, but it didn't make it any easier. It was really tough, and even more tougher because now looking back, it was the only time I was pregnant, and I always wanted to be pregnant. Like I always wanted that bump, you know, I wanted that, you know, feeling of having a baby inside me, and I didn't know it at the time, but that was it. One day is what I got. But you know, in hindsight then, it might have been a blessing that, you know, that did happen, that I decided then that, you know, I would go and get checked and get a smear test done just to make sure that everything was okay. So I went to the clinic just beside work. It was the handiest, and got through the cervical check program, got a smear test done, and that was fine. And then I got a letter or a phone call, I'm not too sure, I can't remember, like a week or so after, just to say, oh, there's, you know, something came up, you know, you need to go to Holly Street for an appointment. And at the same time, I was like, you know, that's fine, no problem, wasn't worried at all. And then I was like only around the corner from work as well, so it was like in the afternoon, and I just walked around from work, and I was along with the doctor, and she did a biopsy on me, and she sat me down afterwards, and she said, like, it wasn't a normal thing for her to do, but she said, I'm 98% sure you've got cancer. And it was just, I couldn't even, I was just like, no, I don't, like, I'm only here to get fixed, like, whatever, you know, was happening, you know, tell me what it is and we'll fix it, and you know, that's it. And she was like, no, she says we'll have to send away the biopsy, she says, but I am certain that it is cancer. So, you know, I left the room and I rang Brendan straight away, like out in the street, and I was just like I was just in bits nearly, but not in bits, because I was in shock. That's what I was in shock.
Were you good at getting your smear tests, Corey?
No, I wasn't. That was my first, and that's something I've had to live with, and it's something I punished myself over a lot after the diagnosis. I blame myself a lot. I used to lie in bed and say, well, Carly, you're so stupid, like, why did you not go and get your smear test done? This is all your fault, like, you're putting you and Brendan through this, like, this is, you know, you could have you know, avoided this if you had gone and done your smear test. But I was a bit like blasé about the whole thing, maybe ignorant more than anything, that I was fine, like, I had signed up to the program, like, I had years before, I just never went. And I had to process all that, that, you know, that I felt like that I brought this on myself for not getting myself checked out.
But so, the thing is that by you sharing that part of your story, you will most likely save a life, because after listening to this, somebody is going to pick up the phone and book a smear test.
I hope so.
So thank you for sharing that really personal part of your story. Like, that cannot be easy. Mm. But also to give yourself, to acknowledge that you did go for your smear, and you did, your life was saved, and you did the right things. And then I know things got worse from that point, in terms of you got devastating news afterwards that kind of really changed your life, and everything felt so final from that point.
Yeah, so the biopsy was sent away, and then it was a waiting game then. So we kind of had to get on with life for the next like week or so. I can't remember how long it took the biopsy to come back, and I had an appointment at Holly Street then. But at the same time, I still wasn't concerned. I still thought, I'll be okay. I was okay, and I am okay, but I thought that it would just be, you know, they might have to take a bit away, and, you know, it would be all rectified, and I would be good as new, and there'd be nothing to be concerned about. And I was never ever worried about the cancer. It's very strange, like, it was a horrible thing to be told, but I was never worried about it. I just thought, I'm going to be okay. But when we went to Hall Street then, we went into the room, and it was me and Brendan and my mum, and the doctor said, your only option is a hysterectomy. And it was just devastating. Just like, really the last thing that I had thought of, like, I just couldn't go there. Like, I couldn't even think that a hysterectomy would be on the cards. And it was just, I was only beginning a life as a married life. I know we were only starting to, you know, have a family, and to be told it's all going to be taken away from you, it shook our world. It just completely shook our world. And we had to wait in Holly Street then for a couple of hours before the consultant was there, and we were sitting in a waiting room. Like, I couldn't move, like, I was stuck to the ground, and the maternity hospital walking, seeing everybody walking in and out with their bumps and their new babies, like, was just, it very just like you were there but you weren't there, like, you were just miles away but you were in that spot for, I think we were there for a few hours waiting, and then the consultant was like, yes, very matter of fact, no other option, and that was it.
Was there an option at this point to freeze your eggs, or where did you stand with your fertility?
So they wanted to do the hysterectomy straight away. So there was an opportunity after the hysterectomy was done that I would be able to do egg freezing. So my ovaries were still in place. So we were delighted. I think that was the May I had the hysterectomy. And then I think it was around the October, November time then that we started the egg freezing process. And it's very emotional. Like, it's very, you know, your head's all over the place. It's a bit of a roller coaster ride for a few weeks. And, you know, highs and lows with the hormones and stuff, and kind of going to appointments and the injections and stuff. And, you know, it felt right. You know, it felt this was it. You know, this was our glimmer of hope that we were going to have a family this way instead of naturally. And we completed the process, and then at the end, I think it was the last day, or I don't know if it was the day I got my eggs removed or the embryos or something, I can't remember what it was, but I was sitting in front of the nurse and she was like, oh, that's it, you're done now. And I was like, but what, like, I'm not done, this is just the start. I says, where do I go, like, what do I do with the embryos, like, I says, where do I take them? I says, how do I have a baby? And she was like, oh, I don't know, we don't do that here, and, you know, we can't do it in Ireland. And you know, you have all of this hope, like, we were pinning all of our hope on these eggs, and then it was like, well, you can't do anything here with them. And she gave me a phone number, and then I was still attending Vincent's, and there was a lovely nurse there, and she gave me a contact for another couple that had just gone through surrogacy. And we went out and we talked to them, and it was very complicated, as like you're well aware. And like, back then there wasn't the conversations there is now. There was very little talk of surrogacy, and it was scary. And it just came to a point that we just couldn't carry on with this road, the surrogacy road, that we kind of hit a brick wall with it, and it just didn't feel right. And we just says, we have to consider our options. But anyways, I think it was in 2016 or that, then we kind of, the end of 2015, start of 2016, we decided that we were going to consider adoption. And luckily, through a friend of a friend, we went out and met Jenny and Alan, and they were just amazing. They'll never know how much they done for us that day. Like, they were super.
And Jenny and Alan were a couple who had adopted and wanted to help you and give you advice.
They were so generous with their time, their information. They were just so matter of fact about things, and just said, this is happening, you know, you can do this, like, this is the road you should be on. Or, you know, they were like, if you want it, go for it. And they were just great, like, they really were.
And just for anyone listening, Jenny, who was a mutual friend of ours, lost her life to cancer over the last couple of years, and it's still so devastating for her family and friends. Of course it will be forever, but she gave you a gift that day. She gave you the hope when you were in a very dark place. And when someone comes along and gives you that gift, it can change your life.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know if I've got this right, but I think I remember Louise saying that the day that we got the news of the boys is the day, it was on Jenny's anniversary. So it just feels like, you know, there was something there as well from her. But yeah, I just couldn't believe it, obviously. It was just a super, super human being.
And still making such an impact on people. Her motto was always forward. And it was always forward for you too. So you had decided adoption was the way. I know that, you know, it's a very, very long process. You were told, you know, 4 years. Mm. Did you always know in your heart and hearts that you would get a baby? And why did you decide to go with America?
Yeah, so we were told 4 years, and at the time that was like, oh my god, it's so long. But it was kind of our only option, like, it was our last option. It was like, you know, this is, but we felt like this was the right road. And we decided then that initially, after talking to Jenny, that we were going to go domestically, and we were going to try and see how it went. And then just a few things happened, and things came up, and we just said, do you know what, we might look at America. And under the American system, you're matched with a birth mother and you get to travel straight away to meet that child. And that child can be a newborn. In other countries, the child is usually older. And we wanted a newborn. I just love babies. Like, I just wanted, you know, that new, like, that small tiny baby. Like, from day one, I wanted that small, that baby, like, with me. And like, I can have it myself, but like, I just, it's just what I crave. Like, I just wanted it so much. And the other countries, you have to complete the paperwork first. So you might be matched and then you can go meet the baby, but you have to come home again and leave them in the country until the paperwork's finished, which is, people are doing it. And it's like, it's, you know, they're amazing to be able to do it, but it's so hard. Like, and I know if you're in that situation, you'll just do, you will do it. But for us, you know, we wanted to go there, have the baby. You know, we had to stay in America for 3 months, and you know, that was fine. We were like, as long as we're with the child, that's okay. And like, we were in the adoption, you know, the adoption process is so long. And you know, the thing about it, you're always doing paperwork, or there's courses or assessments, you know, so like, there are lulls, like, you are waiting at times. But I went back to study part-time, so I was working full-time and I went back to study part-time, so that kept me busy as well, along with the adoption forms as well. So it was, that was great for me to be busy and to not have all my focus on the adoption. And then, you know, when the 4 years was up, you know, we had just kind of completed the registration process. Then because COVID happened, everything kind of stopped. So we were just on the verge of registering, and then everything went quiet. And I was busy with college. I was just finishing off my thesis. But then around April, May, April, May time, the conversation started opening up then with America and the agency in Ireland, and we got our registration completed then. And then in August, I was at home in Donegal. You have to like make sure some of the forms kind of go out of date every year, so you have to keep on top of them. And one of them was a GP form, so my GP's in Donegal, and I came home to get that renewed. And it was a Friday evening. It was a gorgeous day, so I was going to the beach with my cousins. We were just sitting, I was like in a 7-seater full of boys, I was in the middle of them, and we were sitting outside my auntie's house, and a number came up on my phone, and I was like, oh, will I answer this? And I was like, oh, I'll just answer it. So I got out, and she was like, oh, hi, Carly, can you talk? And I was like, yes, I can. And I think I knew, because there had been a bit of communication that week around a profile book that you have to do in America. And there was just a bit of discussion over and back about it. So you kind of like, you don't want to get your hopes up at all, because you just don't know what's going on. But as soon as she started talking to me, she was like, you know, Carly, you've been matched. And she was like, it's twins, and the birth mom's in labour.
Oh my God. What?
Yeah.
It was, so you just don't even get no notice.
And God. That was our situation. Every situation's different for adoption. You could have 6 months notice, you could have 2 months notice, it could be after the child is born. Like, it's, every situation is completely different. But for our situation, we literally got no notice, and we got the phone call on the Friday. So I was standing out the front with my aunt's house, like, my cousins and all her wee boys were waiting to go to the beach, and I was like, kept ringing Brendan. So I rang Brendan, I was like, it's happening, Brendan. It's like, we're going to America. I says, there's two babies waiting for us. There'll be two babies waiting for us. And he was like, what? He's like, Carly, what? And I was like, yeah. I says, it's happening. And
Did you kind of have an idea of your head of how it was going to go? Like, did you expect kind of more notice, or?
Yeah, we surrendered to, you know, whatever happens. We surrendered that we can't control the situation. You can't. There's no control in adoption whatsoever. And I like to be in control sometimes. But there's no control whatsoever.
So was Brendan in work?
He was in Dublin. So he was in Dublin, and it was Friday evening, so he was home from work. So he was in his own in Dublin. And we hadn't told that many people that we were doing the adoption process, because we wanted to protect ourselves, I suppose. We didn't want to put it out there, because, you know, people would be so happy for us that we were doing something, but you would get the questions, oh, is there anything happening? Or, you know, how is getting on? And
yeah,
we just couldn't. Brendan was dying to tell people, and I was like, oh, Brendan, we can't tell people yet. And then I would say, well, maybe after this is done. I was like, oh, maybe after this is done, and maybe after this is done. And so we told them we had to tell people then, but I couldn't tell. Looking back, I could have went home and said, oh, I had to go back to work or something. But like, my head was just all over the place. So I carried on to the beach.
And like, I'm not telling anybody.
Not telling anybody, like saying nothing, sitting in the car on the way to the beach, trying to make conversation. And my cousin was like, was that your work? That's terrible that they're ringing you at this time of the evening. And I was like, I know, it's terrible. And I remember getting to the beach and I just ran into the water. And I was like, and nobody else.
What did you think?
You know, that feeling of the cold, like it's always cold and you call the water, but that cold feeling, I was like, am I alive, am I here, like is this me, like is this my life, you know? It was just like, tell me, like, and I was like literally pinching myself. And then,
Carly,
like,
tell me about the twins aspect, because were you guaranteed that you were going to be matched with twins, or was this the first time you heard that, you know, you were definitely getting twins?
So under our assessment, we had asked to be assessed for twins. So we were approved for a single or twins. So we weren't guaranteed at all, and we thought it was a long shot. We just had this feeling that, you know what, we're just going to go with it. My mum is a twin, she's a twin sister, and they're super super close, and Brendan has like twins in his family, his cousins and that. So we just, you know, we were going through this process, Georgie. It was so difficult. If I could have taken five at the one time, I would have said, give them to me. Like, you know, me and Brent always talked about having like a big family if we could have. Like, so, you know, for us to, you know, be assessed for twins, there was no doubt in our minds that we wanted that. So when she said twins, I was like, I'd won the lotto 10 times over. Like, this was it. Like, there was no, it was, I can't even explain like how I felt. I just felt like, you know, we just waited so long for this. Like, we just couldn't believe it was happening. We just couldn't believe how lucky we were that we were selected, that, you know, that we were going to go to America and get our two boys. It was just, and at the stage we didn't know any of the details. So, you know, I rang my mum from the beach just to say, you know, mum, we're going to America, we're getting twins. And my sister was at home at the time, she was at the beach with me. And then when we got dropped off at the house, she was sitting in the couch completely oblivious, like she didn't know. And then she said something to mom, and mom was like, you gonna tell her? And I was like, I was like, yeah, I'm going to America next week. And she was like, what? And I was like, I'm going to get my twins. And she just was like, lost it. Like, she was just bawling. I'm so happy for us. Like, Brendan rang me back and he was like, Carly, did you just ring me to tell me like that we've been matched? And I was like, yes. And like, I had the actual email from the agency to say, to give us some details about it. I was like, maybe we shouldn't tell anybody. And he was like, there I go again, don't tell anybody. And after that, it was a whirlwind, an absolute whirlwind. I went back to Dublin the next day. My mum and dad took me back up, and we found out then the two boys were born, and they were premature. They were 8 weeks premature, but both doing well. And then I think that evening, or maybe it was the next evening, we got sent two pictures and a wee video, like, that we've watched a million times. We had to start then planning to go to America.
I hope you are enjoying my conversation with Carly, and I'm so excited to bring you the next part of her incredible story. But first, I just wanted to thank L'Oreal Revitalift for supporting the Good Glow this season. And for me, it's such a dream to work with L'Oreal. It's only when I started to pay attention to looking after my skin that I discovered retinols and the importance of using them before bed. L'Oreal Paris Pure Retinol Night Serum leaves my skin feeling brighter and more evenly toned. I love reading reviews about products that I'm using, and the words that jumped out at me for this retinol were glowy, smooth, and affordable. This award-winning anti-wrinkle serum is super concentrated, so it's recommended to start applying 2 nights a week, avoiding the eye area, and always using SPF the morning after. For a double dose of result, you can use it in combination with L'Oreal Paris Hyaluronic Acid Serum that will add plump and hydration to the skin. Absolute magic. Now, back to Carly.
And Carly, can I just ask you there, in terms of the birth mum, would she have been looking through profiles while she was in labour?
So what usually happens is, well, it depends obviously on the circumstances when the birth mum presents to the agency, but she might have a list of like requirements, I suppose, that she would like to see in an adopted parent's, like, so she might want an Irish couple, or, you know, so part of the registration process in the America, you do this profile book, so it's a picture kind of your best bits. So you put together like all these lovely pictures of your life and you and your family, and you write wee bits beside it. So Bren would write something about me, and I'd write something about Brenda, and we'd write stuff about our family and our hobbies. And, you know, it was I put blood, sweat, and tears into that profile book, because that's what they see.
How many days then until you were able to make your way over?
So we went over to the pavilions, to the travel agents, to book a flight, and we did our ESTAs online, and she was like, oh, did you get your visa? And I was like, oh yeah, my visa here. And she was like, oh, I don't think it's that simple. She's like, if you book your flight, you might not get on the plane. And I was like, okay. She's like, you just better check with the embassy first before you book your flight. So that was the Sunday. So on the Monday then, we were on to the embassy. So we had to get an exemption because of COVID. You couldn't fly to America on a tourist visa. So we applied for it on the Monday, and everybody was brilliant. Got all of the documentation back to us, both agencies, the Irish and American agencies. And we got approved then on the Tuesday for the visa. And then we went straight over to the pavilion and booked our flight for the next day.
So you're on the flight, obviously you're in the height of COVID. Obviously that added extra kind of anxiety. So whereabouts in America were you going to?
So we flew out of Dublin and we got a connecting flight. So it was in Dallas. And like, we were in this big jumbo jet, and there was like 10 people. I think even 10 people in it. Like, it was so surreal. Like, you were just kind of thought it was, I don't know, we didn't know what was going on because of COVID. Like, there was nobody traveling, and yet here we were going to America. And we flew through Dallas then onto Atlanta, Georgia, and we had to hire a car then and drive to Athens in Georgia. And because of COVID, we couldn't use public transport. So Bren was driving and down these motorways in America. And I was like, oh my God, like, because the traffic's all on my side. And I was like, Brendan, I think you're going to crash or whatever. And he was like, can you just stop talking?
So we're all the same.
Oh yeah. So it was a wee bit stressful. But then we got to Athens, Georgia on the Wednesday. And then Thursday, we had to go get a COVID test to make sure. We had a COVID test taken before we left Dublin, but just with traveling and stuff and going into the hospital, we had to get a COVID test. But we didn't have a cell phone number, so we were trying to apply online to get a quick COVID test, and some of them were like 10 days return, and we were like, we need this like now. So anyways, on the way to get a cell phone, we seen a rapid test on the corner, and we went over and we were like, oh, we really need a test, we need to get into the hospital tomorrow to see our boys. And the lady, she was brilliant, she was on her mic, she's got an Irish couple here and they're on a mission, you need to get them tested. And she was brilliant. Sorry for my accent there, it's probably terrible, but she was brilliant, like, and she was like so helpful. So we got the test back straight away negative, and I was straight on to the agency, and I was like, oh, got our test, when can we see the boys? And she came back with the social worker in the hospital, and the social worker was like, oh, I'll be in tomorrow, what time suits? And I was like, what time do you start? And she was like, 9 a.m. and I was like, I'll be there at 9 a.m. so we went into the hospital. It was only like a 15-minute walk from where we were staying.
What was that walk like?
Athens, Georgia is a university town, so it's got all these sorority houses, all these frat houses, like, so you feel like you're in the movies nearly, like with all of this things you would see in the movies, and you're walking down, and like we're walking towards the hospital to meet our boys, and we were just so excited, like we were just so excited to see them, we just couldn't wait, like we loved them even before we met them, we just couldn't wait to get our hands on them. And then we got into the hospital and you have to do the temperature checks and everything. And then we were waiting for the social worker. And I think I gave her till like 9:05. I was like, I'm here. And she was there and she took us up to the NICU. The boys were in the in incubators. And we walked in and this lovely nurse, Grace, met us at the door and we had to sanitize. And we literally walked in the door and she says, there they are. And we just turned and there was the two boys like waiting for us. Like, and we were just the best thing you've ever seen in your life. It was just magical. Even though you were in a NICU and the boys were hooked up to monitors, it didn't matter. None of that mattered. Like, we were here finally with them.
All that love that you had saved up for all those years.
Bren was at Sean, I was at Shaquille, and I would go to Sean, he would go to Shaquille, and then we'd swap over, and then like we had about 2 minutes of that, and they're like, oh yes, they need their nappies changed now, off you go, and like they were so small and their nappies were tiny, and here was us like all thumbs and fingers, and but that was it, like that was it from the start, stuck in, you know, doing whatever we could to help the nurses, or the nurses were actually helping us more so than us helping the nurses, and yeah, they were the staff in the hospital, just they couldn't have done more for us. They were brilliant, they really were.
And you decided to keep their names?
Yeah, so we had an email from the agency before we traveled to America, and she said that the boys had been named temporarily, Sean Simon and Shaquille Samuel, and we were like, that's it. We knew straight away, we're like, we're not changing those names, like they just were meant to be. And we had like names kind of in our heads that, you know, we'd only known about it for a few days, so we were just kind of throwing names out there, but those names, as soon as we heard them, we're like, there's no way we're changing them. But we love the names, we love them.
Oh, I love their names. And I know that you speak very fondly of their birth mom.
Yeah, she's amazing woman. We had a Skype call with her before we went to America, and that was it was lovely. Like, you know, she's only after giving birth to the boys, and for her to take time out to talk to us, you know, like reassured us that everything was going to be okay. And you know, she was just like, there's not enough positive words I can say about her. Like, she was an inspiration to us, really, because, you know, she could have kept the boys, but she didn't. Like, she made a plan for them. Like, a part of her plan was that they would come to us, that we would be their adoptive parents. And you know, sometimes when people talk about adoption, they talk very negatively about the birth mom, and like we've had a couple of comments, and I know people mean well, and it's a roundabout compliment they're trying to say, but it's not really. Like, how could anybody give up those two boys, and how could the birth mom like give them away, and like that's not how it is, like that's not the reality of the situation. This is such a difficult decision for any mother to make, but for her to sit down and put her boys before her, she gave us the greatest gift we'll ever have. Like, she, with so much love and gratitude towards her, like whenever we speak about her to the boys, they'll know that, they'll know how amazing she is. And what we met her, we were very lucky to meet her as well, and she's a beautiful person. She really is a beautiful person, and she gave us two beautiful boys.
Wow. Like, yeah. You'll forever have such a bond with her, yeah. Even though you're not physically with her, but you have a part of her, and your boys are a part of you, and it's just so beautiful. And will you keep in touch with her, do you think, or?
Like, we have an open adoption.
Okay.
So the communication is it's there. So hopefully, we would like for that communication to continue for the boys. Like, it's so important for them to know where they came from. For us, we would hope that communication would remain in place.
And the fact that you were in the town where she carried them and you were living there, you got to see what it was like, and you can tell them about that time.
And hopefully we'll take them back someday. You know, hopefully we will return to Athens and to New Jersey, because we had to travel to New Jersey with the boys when they were 5 weeks old, I think. They got discharged early for being two troopers, which was a shocker to me and Brendan, because we thought we'd a couple of more weeks of full sleep. But so we had to take them to New Jersey then for 8 weeks, where the adoption agency was based. And you know, it'd be great to take them back to Georgia and to New Jersey to show them like where we were and like all of the places, like the pictures that we have, and take them back to where those pictures were taken. And yeah,
how did you feel like touching down on kind of Irish soil? Were you kind of like talking to them, or?
Yeah, but it is stressful traveling with two newborns.
Yeah, you're not like just sitting there like, and they lived happily ever after on the flight across the world with twins.
two car seats, a double buggy, three, I think it was four suitcases at that stage. And the four of us are three or four suitcases, a travel cot actually in three suitcases. But when we got there, we only got their passports the day before. And it was we traveled to Philadelphia, and Trump and Biden, the election was happening that day, and it was all very eerie. Like there was an eeriness about America that day. A bit uncomfortable. I'm not too sure. It was just kind of because they didn't know what was going to be the outcome and if there was going to be riots and protests and stuff. So we were kind of glad to be leaving the next day. Not that we really enjoyed our time in America, and it was great. But it was just a bit unsettling. And then when we got to the airport and we got on the plane, we were just like, oh my gosh, yeah, we're going home. Like, it's just like so excited to get them back to our house. And we landed down to nobody because of COVID. Like, there was no big welcome party, which was hard for our families more so than us, because we were just dying to get dying to get into our house. We had a house in Swords, only over the road. So it was great that we didn't have to travel long when we landed in Dublin. And it was kind of strange then that we were home, but we weren't home, like that we couldn't go to Donegal, that we couldn't see our family and friends. But that eventually came. The whole COVID experience for us was probably more of a positive than a negative, because we got our wee bubble. Like, we enjoyed it. Like, it was nice. It was nice not to have people coming around for tea and visits. And you know, when we were in America, all we concentrated on was ourselves and the boys. Yeah. And like, you know, you could sit and like hold them all day if you wanted to, like, because there was, you didn't have anywhere to go or anywhere to be, or, you know, you were just making sure they were fed and you were fed and washed, and that was it, you know.
Wow.
So getting back home was great, and then coming back to Donegal was very emotional. Like, it was emotional coming into the house in Dublin, but coming home to Donegal was special.
God, what a 7 years that you had. And like, when you think back on your life, like, do you feel different now, or do you look back at, you know, all of those years that you waited, like, with compassion, or how do you kind of get your head around it?
It was, you know, it was a really difficult journey, but I do believe that things happen for a reason. Like, so, you know, it wasn't a nice experience having cancer. It wasn't a nice experience having a hysterectomy, but they led us to the boys. And like, if I had to, I would do every single day to have them again. Like, they just have made our world. Like, we just love them so much. Like, even they bring us so much happiness and joy, but the joy and happiness they bring to everybody else around us, like, it's just amazing. And they are just so loved and adored, and we are just the luckiest people in the world.
There's something really special about them. They're like pure joy.
Yeah, joy.
They're just very special kids.
Yeah. I know we're all biased, but like, yeah, they just bring joy. They just bring pure joy to everybody they see. Their cousins, like, they just love them so much. It's just, they're great. They are great. A few sleepless nights, but sure, it's all worth it.
Yeah, it is. It's tough in the middle of the night sometimes, but those smiles and seeing, like you said, seeing the joy they bring to other people, it's all worth it.
Yeah.
I feel so grateful to you for telling your story, because you've reminded me that hopefully, you know, there'll be a baby waiting for us someday, and a reminder the tough times are only temporary. You know, I know everyone's journey is different, but you've really been through it, and by sharing your story you're giving so much hope. And I know that is why you want to share your story, is because you want to help other people.
It's like what Jenny and Alan gave us. If I could give that to somebody else, then like, it's just hope. Like, that's all you need. And I know it doesn't work out for every couple. Like, I know some couples have gone through the adoption process and it hasn't worked out, and that must be awful. But there, you know, it does work out. You know, it worked out for us. I think you need, if you don't have hope, I don't think you have anything. Like, I just think you need that hope. You just need hope to get you through the day, like, just one day at a time. I know we talked about that before. I just think you just need one foot in front of the other. It's like, even the whole process, like, even when we're in America, like, that's all me and Brent says, like, one day at a time, we'll get through this. You know, if we, looking back, like, all we've been through, if we'd known that at the start, we would have been completely overwhelmed, thinking, oh, we're never going to survive this. But like, you survive, you do get through it. Like, you do get through the tough times, and you'll get through it too, Jordi. Of every hope and faith that you will.
Thank you so much. I'm just so thrilled. I have a new friend, and I'm so glad we connected, and I know that we're going to keep in touch, and
definitely,
I can't wait to see your boys again. And I'm so grateful to you for sharing your story on the Good Glow today.
Thanks, Georgie. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast, brought to you with thanks to L'Oreal Paris. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review. If you want to check out our wellness course or our guidance cards and our kids cards, you can head over to thegoodglow.ie. Hope you have a great week, and I'll chat to you next Sunday.